I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
The title of my message in the series I'm going to be on for a while is in the book of Genesis. It has to do with in His image. We are created in the image of God. Just what does that mean? And the first thing I want to do is go to Daniel. Seems strange, but I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. You know, it's interesting to me. This is just something I throw out. Daniel's just a little boy. You know, we think about Shadrach, Meshach, or older guy. They're just kids. They're only about 13, 14 years old. And when I study Daniel, I'm just amazed at their knowledge at that age. Anyway, Daniel says, he purposed in his heart that he would not partake of the king's delicacy nor the wine he drank. Now, there's that term, he purposed in his heart. And so often in scriptures, scriptural terms, we go back to that word heart. And it's an important word because that's where God does his work. God does his major work in the heart. And people are saved in the heart, not in the head. And so the heart is very critical because it doesn't make how much difference head knowledge we have, but God's concerned about how much is getting into the heart. And I know when I use the term heart, it raises questions in the minds of a lot of you. But as far as I'm concerned, the heart is the soul, the mind, will, and emotions. That's the heart of your being. And so it's with this heart that we believe for salvation. We'll go to Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. And it starts out in verse 8. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. For if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. See, it's with the heart man believeth in salvation. And then it says, with the heart man believeth for righteousness. So where does righteousness take place? In the heart. And then the mouth confess. What's the mouth confess? What's in the heart. And that's so critical. Years ago, when the building next door was just an empty building from selling my cars, had a car collection, and then we opened it up to the Full Gospel Businessmen meeting once a month, and we'd cater a chicken dinner and worship and a guest speaker. And back in those days, in Full Gospel Businessmen, they had speakers that'd make the tour. You know, they'd go to different places. This one particular guy that night was in the Reader's Digest. He had been in that terrible airplane crash over in the Canary Islands. And what had happened over there is that one of the planes was refueling, and the other plane was coming in for a landing, and the plane that had just refueled took off. As the plane came in, they just scraped. And he raked right across the top and cut open the fuselage, and both planes just burst into flames. Now, the man that was speaking said, when I left home that morning, my mother prayed for me. She says, I'll be praying for you today, son. And he says, I sat there in that plane. It had landed, but it was just in flame. People were dying. Over 450 people lost their lives in that crash. One of the worst in aviation history. He says, I sat there, and these people were burning alive. And he says, they were screaming and cursing God. And he said, I sat there in shock. Because I always thought when people were dying, they'd cry out to God. And so he said, I cried out to God and said, oh, God, save me. He said, the next thing I knew, I was out in the wing of the plane. And they came and brought ladders and got me down. And what was so shocking to him, there was no evidence I was in the plane. No smell of smoke, no nothing burnt, nothing. And that's why it's written up in the Reader's Digest. He said, what was so hard on me? He said, it took me a whole year to get those sounds and those thoughts out of my mind, that people would be dying and cursing and screaming at God. So you see, what's in the heart will come out the mouth. That's why it's so important. Not only do I acknowledge Christ as Savior and Lord and put my faith in the finished works of the cross, but I allow him to mature and develop me in the inner person. And I always gauge my walk with Christ. I think it's an easy way. How is the husband-wife relationship doing? If she says something that comes across a little wrong, do I flare up and fire back? Vice versa. How about the parent-child relationship? How are we doing there? And on the job, when some guy says something that I don't like, do I fire right back? That's a good indicator. That's what I use. I ask my wife a lot, how am I doing? There's always room for improvement. I got a long ways to go. I know most of you are there, but not me. I got a ways to go. That's because I'm short. Short people always have farther to go because they take shorter steps. So it's with the heart. The heart is this invisible part of created Adam. So let's go to some scriptures. We'll go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it says, let us, there's a capital U there. That's the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They had a council meeting, CIL. And at council meetings, whether it's the Burlington City or the church having a council meeting, what do they do at the council meeting? They counsel, S-E-L. And so the triune God had a council and they said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now I want you to think for a moment. At this point in time, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that man penned this, was God in human form? No. What was he? He was spirit. Invisible, eternal, eternity past, eternity future. He was a spiritual, invisible God. I want you to get that. He was a spiritual, invisible God. So what part of his image is he going to create man in? The invisible. Now, if you're a pathologist and you work with body parts and you're called upon to do an autopsy and you take the brain out and you put it on the table in a lab and you slice and dice and get that down to a small particle and you put it under the microscope and you look at it, can you see the soul? Can you see that person's mind? Can you see their will? Can you see what Psychology 101 calls the seat of their emotions? No. Why? Because they're invisible. But are they real? Hey, they're just as real as you and I sitting here and me standing here. In fact, it was by an act of your will that you came. So the soul with the mind, will, and emotions is the invisible part. It is the heart of your being. So when we say heart in the scriptures, you're talking about the mind, will, and emotion, the soul. That is the heart of your being. That is the invisible part created in the image of God. And then God said, let us put a spirit in man. That's male, female. Let us put a spirit. It's also invisible. And God put a spirit in there for one purpose. So you could commune with God. And when you get to the sixth day of creation, the first 5 days, everything created up to that point was created for the benefit of man. And when God said, let's put a spirit in there so you can commune with God, there is no other thing created on the heavens or in the earth that has created in the image of God that can commune with God, not even the angels. And I'll go into detail on that later. God wanted someone that was not a puppet, that was not a robot, but someone that he could extend his love to and they could respond back. That was the purpose. He wanted someone that he could walk in fellowship with and communicate with. And that's why I want to walk and serve a living God. He wants to commune with me and I want to commune with him. And so God took those invisible, I'm just going to call them entities, that are within us. And he wrapped them in what? A body. He put them in a body so we could be functional. The Bible calls it the tabernacle or the tent. It's temporary. But God still puts a lot of emphasis on the body. And man has functioned that way for 6,000 years. Now let's go back to the scriptures. He says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them. I want you to notice that, because oftentimes you can read the Bible and you read right over these words. Them is plural. Did you notice that? Them. That's male and female. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. Now let's drop down to verse 28. Well, I'll do verse 27 next time. No, I'm going to drop to verse 28. And it says, and God blessed them. There it is again. Male and female. Because you see, Eve was in Adam. Ooh, a lot of people can't handle that. That isn't what Larry Worthen said. That's what the Bible says. And I'm going to go in great detail on this the next time up here, because that's going to take me a lot of time. So Eve was in Adam. And then he said, go and be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every moving thing that moves on the earth. Now, the word dominion is an important word. It means control. And I wanted to uncover or get rid of a myth that's been in churches and Sunday schools. So oftentimes you may have grew up in one where it taught this way. That Adam and Eve, their only sense of influence or concern was the Garden of Eden. That they were to have dominion over the Garden of Eden. They were to be the caretakers, the landscapers. That is not true. Adam and Eve had dominion over the whole earth. That's what it says. And that's very important. Why are you making such a big deal? Because it is. It's a big deal. So they had dominion over all the earth. And you go to Genesis chapter 2, and you come to verses 16 and 17. And God commanded the man, that's male, female, that he had, that could eat off all the trees in the garden, freely eat, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat, for the day you eat, you shall surely die. Now, when Adam disobeyed God, I'm talking about the male now, because he is going to be the federal head of the whole human race. When he ate that apple or whatever he ate, he lost dominion over the earth. And who picked it up? Satan. Now, I'm going to go off scripture right now and just give you my opinion. This is just Larry Worthen's opinion. I got a hunch that the whole motivation behind Satan in trying to get Adam and Eve to disobey God was so he could get dominion over all the earth. Now, I can't by scripture, but I got a hunch. Anyway, he took dominion. Now, whenever you deliberate in the Old Testament, especially Genesis, you have to literally run to the New to get the answer and the reason for it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to run up to Matthew chapter 4. And here you have the Holy Spirit leading Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I want to jump to the third temptation. And it says in verse 8 that the devil took Jesus to an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future, and all their glory. And he said, if you bow down and worship me, you can have all these. That was a shortcut. That is that instant gratification. And the devil has used that full speed ever since. That's one of his main temptations, is you can have it now. Why wait? Skip the cross. Of course, he didn't know about the cross. But Jesus knew. He knew where he was headed. That's why today, why get married? Just live together. Have sex together. Hey, why wait? You see how the devil works? Why work hard for money when you can steal it? He's still working the same way. And so when Adam sinned, he lost dominion. Satan picked it up. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. And what does it say? It says, if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world, there it is, small g, the God of this world is Satan. He has blinded the minds of the unbelievers that they may not believe that the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, is in the image of the Father, should shine on them. So truth would be illuminated to them on the inner person. That's why people out there that have never even picked up the book can criticize it because they do not have spiritual discernment. The only way you can get this book and it opens up to you is if you're born again and the Spirit of Christ is in you. Christ in you is true salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any person be in Christ, Christ in me, they're a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Because you no longer evaluate from a carnal mind. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you think on things spiritually. Then the Holy Spirit who penned this Bible will lead you into all truth. It comes by revelation. I didn't figure all these things out. Some guy in a wrecking yard didn't know up from down to come to the Bible. But over the years, the Holy Spirit's teaching me. Open these things up. That's the difference in unbelievers and believers. The scriptures come alive. So Adam lost dominion. Satan picked it up. This really comes into play in the book of Revelation. In chapter 5, you find yourself in the throne room of heaven. And there's a scroll there. And it has 7 seals. And they can find no one worthy to open that scroll. And so John cries. They weep over it. And then he sees a lamb that was slain. That was Christ on the cross, shedding his blood for the remission of our sins. And then he saw the Lion of Judah. And that scroll is scriptural symbolism. So the whole purpose of the tribulation, one of the main purposes, is what was in that scroll. It was the mortgage that Satan holds over the earth, the dominion he's held over this earth for 6,000 years. And Christ is coming in all his glory as the Lion of Judah. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he will conquer Satan once and for all and take dominion away from him. And he'll set up his kingdom and rule for 1,000 years, the millennial kingdom. Praise to the Lord Jesus. You see how important that is to understand that? That's a very important word, dominion. Now, we'll go back to the scriptures. And I want to concentrate on being created in the image of God, that our image is our spirit, soul, and body. The soul, that's the heart of our being, and the spirit. Those are invisible entities that are within us. So we are spirit, soul, and body. That's the Trinity of man. There's the Trinity of God, God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, man, his will, emotions, the mind, will, and emotions. That's the soul of his being. Now, so you don't think I'm taking this out of the woodwork or taking it out of the sky. I'm going to ask him to put on the overhead those circles. Okay, I had a handout. If you didn't get it, you can get it on the way out. But right there, he shows the unbeliever and the believer. The unbeliever has the old Adamic nature, the fallen nature. We were all born in sin. We're all born with a sinful nature. Okay? We were born with our backs to God. We're in rebellion. And the second one there is a sin nature. So first of all, we're mortal. The unbeliever is mortal. The third is he'll be away from God for all eternity, separated from God for all eternity. He will live in darkness. On the other side is Christ. Those in Christ are immortal. Make sure you got that word right, immortal, not immoral. That was the old nature. And our spirit is righteousness. Because we have the robe of righteousness. I'm going to go into detail on that in the future. And then we'll be forever in the presence of the Lord. That's so good. In John 14:6, I love that one. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. He's talking to the disciples the night before crucifixion. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you shall be also. God has prepared a home for me. And I know when I get to heaven, that's going to me feel more like home than any home I had here on earth. Okay, let's go to scriptures. Now we'll run to the New Testament again. We'll go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, that you may be whole, spirit, soul, and body, preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So where are we sanctified completely? Spirit, soul, and body. There it is, right in the scripture. Let's go to another one. Go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of spirit and soul. Now, spirit and soul are closely knit together, but there is a division. The Bible says so. Of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There it is. Spirit, soul, and body. That's the heart of our being. That's where God does his work. Now, how am I able? How was this old Odderecker that was so warped? When he came to Christ, boy, he had a lot of work to do. How does he do that? We go to Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall give life to your mortal bodies. That means who was dead in trespasses and sin will give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. The spirit of the living God, the spirit that God put in at creation, when it's joined together at the new birth, when we're born again, that spirit comes alive and it illuminates in the inner person, in the heart, soul, mind, and will. It illuminates the will of God, the love of Christ. That's why in Romans 5:12, I think it is, it says the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. That's down in our soul. So we can not only return love to Christ, but love one another. It's amazing some of the people I love today before I want to punch them in the nose. I think I did a few times too, but that's okay. That was back there. It's amazing. Now, watch scriptures come alive. When we start to get this concept, and I'm going to go into it in a lot deeper and a lot more detail. When you go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and this is Jesus speaking. And he said, don't fear those that can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. No person can kill you, not the real you. Your real personality is spirit, soul, and body. Mind, will, and emotions. That's the real you. And the reason they can't kill it is because it's invisible. It's invisible. Now let's go to another one. Let's just remember to John chapter 11, verse 25. Just prior to that, Martha's all upset at Jesus because if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus, he'll rise again. She said, yes, I know in the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, shall live. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. You see why? Because it's invisible. And it can't die. That's why if they kill the body, someone commits suicide or gets shot, it's just the body, it's the temple, the tent. The real you just goes on up into heaven if you're walking in fellowship with Christ. If Christ is in me. If he's not, well, you can walk on into the other place. It's awful hot. I wouldn't go there. Is this helping? Good. I'll do a lot more with it the next time up. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that you created us in the image of God, that the inner person, and that's where you do your work, Lord. That's what is illuminated from God's word. It just infuses right into our very being, in the heart of our soul. Let our soul experience the peace of God at a greater dimension. Let our spirit come alive to worship Christ, the living God, the resurrected Savior. And let the heart be filled with the love of Christ, that we can love one another, that we can be forgivers and forgive others, and walk in obedience to a living God. and walk in your will according to your commands, according to your ways, Lord. So we walk under the blessing and not under the curse. Lord, I want to walk in the blessings of God. And when we have deaths in the family, as some have experienced, we lost loved ones, when we go through those surgeries or facing cancer and those things, Lord, we know somebody that's in us that's greater than he is in the world. We know someone who's going to walk through these things hand in hand. And boy, that just takes the fear right out of me. And I know, oh, death, where is your sting? It has no sting, because the invisible part that was created in the image of God will be with you through all eternity by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.